Well, let's go ahead and get started. Father, we just want to thank you for your word, and especially Ephesians 5. We've been here quite a bit, and as we finish it up today, we just ask that you would speak to us, and speak to us in a very powerful way, as we know that you can do. And so we just commit this part of our meeting into your hands. Amen. Okay, we've been, the last 4 or 5 weeks, we've been talking about Christian marriage. And we've kind of noted that Christian marriage doesn't just mean that both people are Christians. It means that they are walking with Jesus. And in our approach in these passages is to cover marriage in such a way that it would apply to all of us. You know, whether you're a young person, single, whatever. Because a lot of these principles, they apply to all our relationships, okay? So one thing we've kind of said is that Christian marriage is a picture. And it's a picture of what? A picture of Christ and His bride, the church, okay? At least that's the way it's supposed to be. And because of that, Christian marriage is something that's very holy. It's very precious. Last week, we talked to husbands specifically as to how they are to relate to their wives. And we said several things here. We said that Christ gave himself up for the church, and we likewise are to give ourselves up to our wives. And we talked about how we are not to live self-centered lives, but we're to live lives that are selfless now. Okay? We also talked about that just as Jesus sanctified the church, or is sanctifying the church, that is making her holy, cleansing her by the word of God, that's what it says, we likewise are to sanctify our wives. We talked about that means we are to care spiritually for our wives. And then we also talked about, just as Christ loved the church with agape love, what? Husbands are to love their wives with agape love. Okay. Now today, I want to end with some thoughts about building a marriage on Christ. And really, it's building our family on Christ as well. And again, I'm not going to go to lots of details about marriages. We're going to try to keep this to something that really applies to most of us. Now, marriages are to be built. And that's an important concept, because a lot of people don't realize this. You see, there's some things in life that just happen. There's no thinking about it beforehand. No real planning. And by the way, can God be in that? Yeah, sure. Some examples. One example is how I ended up living in Frisco. I was living in Mexico City. And we were looking to... We'd sold our house in Maryland. I needed to reinvest. And Judy and I and our family, we drove up to Mexico City. We went through New Mexico, Colorado, Texas. And we were just looking for a place to buy a second house as an investment. Well, we ended up sort of last minute. We didn't really think about it. But we kind of drove into Frisco. We said, oh, that's kind of a cute town. We went camping here. And we just ended up buying what we thought was a second home here for investment. Well, it ended up that we ended up living here. And we didn't do a lot of planning for it. We didn't think about it for 5 or 10 years ahead of time. Where's the coolest place to live in the United States? Oh, Frisco, Colorado, Summit County. Let's see how we can do that. And my guess is that many of you, if you were to think back 5 years ago, 10 years ago, how did you get here in Summit County? Probably you never even heard of it before. It just kind of happened. Things like that happen. Sometimes getting a particular job, it just happens. Sometimes you meet someone that you end up being real close friends with. Maybe you're laboring together in the kingdom of God. You didn't really plan it. And some things just happen, and God's in it. Now, there's other things in life that need to be built. It requires planning. It requires right choices. Actually, usually a series of right choices. An example would be if you're building a house. You've got to have some plans, right? Actually, the county or the city makes you kind of go over to the planning office, and you've got to plan it. You've got to show your plans. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to build a foundation this way. Then I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to build this. I'm going to do the plumbing this way. I'm going to do the electrical. I'm going to build a roof on top of it. A lot of us, the way, if we didn't do any planning and we were building a house, it'd never get built, would it? You know, a career is usually something that you have to plan and build. Saving money is something that you just can't decide, you know, I think I'm going to try to save some money. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. What happens if you do that? It doesn't happen, does it? Or how about a business? Several, probably five or six, seven, eight of you own your own business. You've got to plan that. You've got to build it, don't you? It just doesn't happen. You've got to figure it out. You got to, okay, I'm going to do this step, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this. And you know what? Our marriages are the same way. Our families, we have to build them over a period of decades. Success in things like career, saving money, marriages, it just doesn't happen. It takes, like building a house, you have to plan on it. You know, if a lot of us built our houses like we build our marriages, we'd be probably, you know, we'd be living out in the rain and snow. Rain this week. You know, hopefully that rain's going to stop. It takes a commitment. It takes building. Godly marriages that have long-lasting fruit is made up of right choices. A lot of right choices. It means plowing through difficult times. It's a commitment that overrides all emotions. You know, because emotions can go up and down. A commitment is something you stay with. It means an unwavering fidelity. You know, being faithful. That's marriages have to be built. And when you build something, it has to be built on a foundation, doesn't it? And what foundation do we build our marriages on? Jesus, right? Exactly. Jesus must be the foundation of our marriages. I think there's another slide coming up here. Yeah, right. Okay. And we could say even of our lives too. That means that Jesus is first in everything we do. Actually, Matthew 6, 33. It's a verse a lot of us know. And it's something a lot of us should live by. All of us need to live by. Matthew 6, verse 33. Jesus has been talking about, he says, listen, people in the world, they're worried about what they're going to eat, how they're going to dress, how, you know, what type of lodging they're going to have. And Jesus says, don't worry about these things. And then he makes this statement here in verse 33. He says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things in life will be added to you. It happens automatically as we make Jesus first. And that's the way we have to govern all our lives. And that's the way we've got to do our marriages. We have to say, okay, Jesus, you're going to be first in our marriage. It means Jesus is going to take priority over our time, over our finances, over everything. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter gives us a picture, and it says, it calls each of us as living, what? Stones, right? And we're being built together. And then it says that the cornerstone of this building that's being built is whom? Jesus. That means everything's measured from the cornerstone. He is the foundation, it says in another place. It's got to be in our lives, and it has to be in our marriages, our families. Now that means, by the way, there's got to be a foundation. A lot of marriages, even I'm afraid Christian marriages, they're just kind of built on nothing. In fact, another time Jesus talks about a house. He says some people build their house on a rock. By the way, who's the rock? Jesus. And he says, if you build your house on a rock, when the storms come and the wind blows and the rains come, what happens? That house stays firm. On the other hand, we could build our house, our life, our family, our marriage, on the sand. And when the winds come and the rains come and the storms, by the way, it's kind of interesting because it says, it doesn't say if the storms come. It says when the storms come. Because in every life, there's going to be storms, right? And if our house is built on the sand, what happens? It gets washed away. It gets washed away. Just earlier this, no, not earlier this month, earlier last month, 1st of August, Judy and I, my dad owns a second home at a beach in Gulf Shores, Alabama. Actually, Eric and Hannah just got back from there. And it's a real blessing to us because we can go to the beach, and once we get there, it's free, you know, because my dad owns it. So it's kind of nice. Actually, I think Chad and Despina are going really close there in a couple weeks, right, to the beach. But you'll notice that along the beach, there are no houses built on the sand. They're built on stilts, you know. Stilts, you know how to say that in Spanish? Okay, I guess you do. You're a builder. Because it used to be, back when I was a kid, I used to go there, and they did build some houses on the sand. And you know what happened? When the storms came, especially in the form of a hurricane, those things would just be all gone. Now a hurricane, it can still knock some of them down, but usually it passes under the house, the water. It's a principle. Jesus talked about it. And our lives need to be built on a foundation. The rock, Jesus. That means His Word is the authority in my life. You know, it means it's not what I feel like doing or what I think. It's not just the authority on Sundays, but every day of the week, I make this what I live my life by. That means areas like integrity. Am I truthful? Am I honest? How I do my finances. That includes my giving. How I teach my children. How I'm an example to my children. It affects my job, my career. Everything I do, I build upon Jesus. I live by His Word. We have to live by His Word. That means the principles of God's Word govern my life. They govern my home. And God says that He honors those who make Him first in everything. He honors. Sometimes it's hard. You know, what'd be an example? Sometimes God's Word is just, well, maybe giving would be an example. You know, I think giving, well, wait a minute. You know, how can I really give to the Lord this week or this month? Things are really short. But you know what? I do it anyway, and He honors me. That's a principle in God's Word. Let's take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 30, and actually it's probably up there. You're a lot quicker than I am there. It says, therefore the Lord God of Israel declares, I didn't say that your house and your house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, this is the phrase I want to look at, for those who honor me, I will honor. That means we make Jesus first, He's going to honor us. That's a promise. Let's look at Psalm. Psalm chapter 1. I love this Psalm. It talks about a lot of things, but let's just look at verse 2. It says, it's talking about the person who's blessed of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, he meditates day and night. In other words, God's law, he's thinking about, he's meditating, he delights in it. And it says, this person will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. That's a beautiful promise, that we will prosper if we are what? Firmly planted in God's Word. That means we know it, we're studying it, we're obeying it, we're firmly planted. Actually, we're going to be talking some about that on the retreat, what all that means, to be firmly planted. But the promise is that we'll bear fruit, and that whatever we do, we will prosper. The first couple chapters of Proverbs, it talks about for those who live by His commandments, there's a promise of peace, there's a promise of prosperity, long life, honor, paths that are straight. And again, it's for those who what? Who live according to His Word. Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He says, therefore everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I'll also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. What does it mean to confess him? Well, part of it is with our mouth, right? That our life is, I'm following Jesus. You know, I obey. I serve Jesus. This is what my life is about. That's confessing him. It's making him first. Denying him means we just don't put him first in our life. What we're talking about is an unwavering commitment to live by His Word. That's the foundation. That's the foundation that has to be in our marriages. Building a Christian marriage also means that agape love and forgiveness has to permeate our homes. You know what permeate means, does it? It just means it fills our homes. Now, I know we keep coming back to these two things, agape love and forgiveness. But that's because it's at the heart of the Christian life. If we're not walking in agape love, if we're not walking in forgiveness, then it's just a lot of talk. And in every area of our life, but especially in our marriages, in our homes. Now, You might say, yeah, but is that really possible? Yes, it is possible. Not in ourselves, but it's possible because of the gospel. Because the gospel changes me. The gospel means that Jesus Christ lives in my life. And so therefore, I don't have any excuses. You know? Oh, well, that's too hard. No. If I follow Jesus and make Him first in my life, then I can walk in agape love and I can walk in forgiveness. Agape love is higher than all disappointments. It's higher than all failure. God's Word says that agape love covers a multitude of what? Sins. It's unconditional love. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about this agape love. And I don't think we have it up there, but let me just read just a couple of verses, maybe verses 4 through 7. It says, agape love is patient. It's kind. It's not jealous. Now think in terms of marriages here, okay? And home life. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Agape love, it bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. That's agape love. And that's what we need to walk in. And we have to have agape love and forgiveness just fill our marriages and our lives. That's part of building our marriages. It means teaching our children, practicing it with one another. And by the way, in our home, we have plenty of opportunities to do that. Have we made that commitment to make agape love and forgiveness rule in our homes? I hope so. Because it starts with making a commitment. It's something you've got to build. You can't just say, well, if that happens, that'd be kind of nice. No, you got to build it. You have to think about it. You have to kind of teach yourself. Okay, a couple questions that I'm often asked as a pastor about marriages. Some of them are from singles. One of them is, whom shall I marry? How do I know? Well, first of all, the person that you decide to marry needs to be, first of all, a person that's truly born again. Someone who is walking with Jesus Christ. Someone who sees marriage as the Scripture teaches it. Jesus should be the foundation of their life. You can't just not have Jesus as the foundation of your life over here and not over here and decide to do it when you get married. You know, it means living by God's word, the person you want to marry. It means that they're beginning to walk in humility, that they're practicing agape love and forgiveness in their relationships. You might say, well, there's not many people like that. Well, if that's true, you just need to wait. You know, because God's going to connect this person and this person together who are really waiting for people who are going to truly live, you know, in Christ. And, you know, I tell singles this all the time. A lot of times they don't listen. And a lot of times they come back later. I think I shared this once, but about 4 years ago, I got about a 6 or 7 page letter from someone I haven't seen in probably 15, 20 years. And I won't mention the name. It's not from anyone around here, of course, but this is a podcast that people listen to. But I remember this girl because when she was single, she got it in her mind that she wanted to marry this particular person. And I said, you know, does he know the Lord? I'm pretty sure he believes in God. That's not what I ask. Does he really know the Lord? Is he walking with the Lord? Well, you know, I think he really wants to. And I said, I think you need to kind of wait till he starts walking with the Lord before you pursue this relationship. No, no, no. And she went and got married. And 25 years later, I get a letter. And she said, Mike, and she remembers many things I told her and Judy told her that I'd forgotten about a long time ago. She remembered very clearly how we warned her. She said, you know what? You were right. I shouldn't have done this. And it was just a very sad letter. Now she's got kids. She even has some grandchildren now. And so it's been a long time. Now, next question. What if I got married and I didn't realize the type of person I was supposed to marry? By the way, that happens a lot, right? Because maybe you weren't a Christian yet. Or maybe you didn't hear all this. You know, it doesn't really make any difference. God is a God of redemption. You know what that means? He has a way of turning something that we mess up. He has a way of kind of turning it around in something beautiful. He's good at that. He's a God of redemption. And I'd say that if you didn't know, don't worry about it. You made a commitment to the Lord for this person. And if you begin applying these principles, God will turn things around. You might say, well, what if I'm kind of like that woman? I knew what I should have done, but I didn't do it anyway. Well, I'd say then you probably just need to repent of your disobedience. And God can still make something beautiful of your life. Now, there may be consequences. And it's interesting, this lady that wrote me, she said, you know, I repented of what I did. And since I've repented, I've seen God do a lot in my family. And so she did that. So that's, the beautiful thing is that God is a supernatural God. And even when we mess things up, He has a way of turning things around. Now, again, it may be a little bit harder. It's always best to do it right. So if you're singles, you know, I encourage you, do it right the first time, you know, from the very beginning, not the first time, but from the very beginning. But if you find yourself, hey, I didn't know about all this, that's okay. You keep serving the Lord, and you know what? He will make things. He will walk with you. Another question I hear. What if I'm the only one in the relationship that's really serving God? What if my wife or what if my husband doesn't really want to serve the Lord? Do these principles still apply? The answer is yes. In fact, a test of agape love is loving people who maybe aren't loving you back or forgiving people. And God's word says that if we're faithful to His principles, that He has a way of turning things around. I'm not sure exactly what it's going to look like, but I do know that God is faithful and His principles apply no matter what. God gives abundant grace in the area of marriages and families. In conclusion, I hope these weeks have been able to help you. For those who are young people or single, to kind of know, okay, this is what a Christian marriage is. Okay, this is the way I want to do it. And if you're married, if you have a strong marriage, I hope this is kind of encouraging. I hope if you've had maybe a weaker marriage, maybe this can kind of help point you in some of the direction in the direction to kind of get it back to where you're building it. I want you to, all of us, to realize that marriages must be built. And there's a lot of things we did not cover. You know, I gave out a card, or Andrea gave it out to everybody. And these are a response card. You know, if you would like to talk to someone about your marriage, either as a couple, or maybe just as a husband, maybe just as a wife, there's a place for you to kind of check that, okay? And we'll get back to you. Maybe, I know in the past 3 or 4 years, we've had several classes on marriage. There's love and respect that we've done. We've done other things. We're willing to do more. So if you feel like, you know, I could use some type of a class or a Bible study, could you let me know about something? Then check that. Maybe you might just feel like, you know, I know there's a lot of good reading material out there, and there's a lot of things on CDs and videos. I'd like to, you know, I want to begin to really build my marriage. And I need some help. I need a lot of practical things. You know, there's a place that we can get back with you on some suggested resources for you. There's some good resources in Spanish as well as in English. So, you know, fill out that card. Give it to me. I noticed we've taken the offering already. I was going to kind of have the offering at the very end, but I didn't tell the people giving the offering. So they went ahead and took it. So that's okay. But, you know, you can just give that to me, you know, or to Bobby or Eric afterwards, and we'll get back with you. You don't have to do it today. You can kind of fill it out, give it to us at house church or, you know, next Sunday as well. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for the gift of marriage. We want to thank you for the homes that you've given us, the families that we have. Lord, we thank you that your word speaks a lot to how we should build our marriages and our families. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us grace in this area. Lord, we want to thank you for our wives. We want to thank you for our husbands. Lord, the blessings that come with us with that. Lord, we ask that you would help us all to build godly marriages, Christian marriages that can be a picture to the world of how you love the church. And we ask that you would do that. In Jesus' name, amen.